This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
What is up, guys? This is Danny Carlson with the Actualize Freedom podcast, and we are taking a big step back in time here. This is someone I met, I think, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago at an Amazon conference. It was at Ryan Daniel Moran's CapCon, which honestly was an amazing conference with a lot of really great speakers, but also the people that I met at this conference were doing some really awesome things. And that person is Jeff Lieber. And when I met him back then, I think he was just in the beginning stages of his agency, and he had a really great idea how he's going to scale this agency. And it has all come full circle, and Turnkey has grown to a really cool level. And it's interesting to see the snapshot, like 4 years or something after I first met him, and just how far he's come in that time and how much Amazon experience he's got. So I want to welcome to the podcast, Jeff Lieber.
Thank you so much, Danny. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a small world out there, especially in the Amazon e-commerce world. And yeah, I remember we hit it off, and it was great to meet you then. And yeah, I just want to say thanks again for inviting us to your e-commerce summit that you did recently. Like, you guys did such an amazing job pulling that together. And what a great group of people there. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. A lot of hard work went into that, and waking up at 4:30 a.m. and all that kind of stuff. But I know you've been hard at work as well. So let's jump back into your backstory a little bit. And just how did you start your Amazon journey in general and get into what later started Turnkey Product Management?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to keep it short. It was around 2014. I was working a normal full-time job, and I wanted to always start my own business of some sort. And I learned about this Amazon opportunity, started studying it, and then I ended up choosing a product to, source from China. And I wasn't the smartest or most prudent person in the world, so I bought a 20-foot container of one pet product for like $15,000 as my test order to see how this business thing would go. And about 9 months later, I finally sold through that. I was actually, 50% chance felt like the supplier was just going to scam me out of my money, because I just wired them out in full and I had no idea what I was doing. So, but luckily they shipped me the product, started selling on Amazon. It did take off in a decent way and ended up turning that into a pet products brand. And so that was how I got my feet wet in Amazon. And that was always my bread and butter. Then spun off a baby brand and then launched another pet toy brand with my friend's dad, who's an inventor, who, had this cool 100-foot ring launcher. So we did that, launched it on Kickstarter, did Amazon. And then I started helping a couple friends with their businesses on Amazon because they had awesome products. And all of a sudden, I had created an even worse 9-to-5 job. It was more like a 6-to-10 job, pretty much. And I quickly realized, the grass isn't always greener, especially when you create 5 different businesses for yourself. And so I quickly learned to simplify and choose which one meant the most to me and I enjoyed the most. And I liked helping other people's businesses. And so I ended up selling out of all of my brands and exiting and finding my way out and focus completely on now we named it later Turnkey Product Management. And now we just help other companies to scale on Amazon. So that's the shortest I could do.
Yeah, well, just certainly going all in with that first 20-foot container, it could have gone either way. This story could have taken a very different turn if anything went wrong out of the millions of things that could have gone wrong, paying $15,000 to a supplier you have no idea is going to deliver. So kudos to you for going for that. And tell me a little bit, I'd like to shift the conversation really into what's happening today with the coronavirus, because I've been following your content that you've been putting out, and I know you guys have been thinking really deeply on this and just morphing your strategies to match all the craziness that's been happening in the last month or in the 6 weeks or so here. So let us know, like, what is Turnkey doing with all of your different clients and the accounts that you manage and oversee to remedy the situation or to monitor what's going with coronavirus?
Yeah. So, basically it's been all hands on deck here with our clients. It's changing every single day. And we should probably just mention that we're recording this today on April 22nd, 2020. So I'm sure, we'll keep it high level and give the latest updates that we have, but obviously you know, stuff is changing every day. But obviously with the shipping restrictions, you know, back in March to the essential categories, that hit a lot of our clients really hard, and they weren't able to send new shipments into FBA. But now Amazon is starting to open up more and more products and categories, and you know they are limiting the quantities that you can send in sometimes. So basically right now the latest is it's a day-to-day thing. So if you do not have the ability to ship inventory into Amazon FBA right now, I would just recommend that you spot check it daily. Once a day, it takes 30 seconds to check if you're able to create a shipment for, you know, one of your SKUs, and just keep looking every single day, because they don't even typically give you an update that, hey, by the way, now you're available to send an inventory. So that's number one. Number two with our clients is if you can ship in inventory, then ship in aggressively and ship in as aggressively as you can, because I mean, there's still drama happening with the coronavirus and Amazon's warehouses. There's rumors that this week there's a planned walkout of at least over 300 employees at multiple FBA warehouses. And so, you know, that stuff, I mean, it could be changing literally week to week, day to day. And, you know, when that happens, you know, a lot of your brands are going to get affected. And so it's just important to stay up to date on your inventory and take advantage of what you can. And then the clients, so some of our clients' sales went down, you know, 10, 20, 30%, especially the ones that, you know, they were solely reliant on Amazon FBA. But a number of our clients, their sales actually have been up like 25, 30% or so. And that's because they had seller fulfilled, you know, merchant listings set up, and they had third party warehouses that could take orders. And so that's one of the keys that we've seen to be successful in this time. And just want to add that, like, those clients, it's not like they planned for the coronavirus in that way. Like they're bigger brands. They've planned to be more of a bigger sustainable business. And so that's something that I advise brands have even outside of this coronavirus pandemic. If you can have a third party warehouse just as a backup source to store inventory, to take orders on something like Shopify or your website, you know, if you're selling on walmart.com and other websites, I mean, it's good to have a third party warehouse anyways. And so one of the biggest tips I can give is if you don't have that set up, is to get out there and find a warehouse that still has capacity and space, and go start that process.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second too, because I think that's such a key thing, especially just as a backup source, that really there's not really any clear downside to doing that. So a great example, I think, is if you get a larger C shipment of your product and you ship the entire thing into Amazon, that's a giant liability. Now you have to sell through the whole inventory on Amazon, or you have to get your 50 cent per unit removal fee if anything happens to it, right? But if you just ship in just as much as you need to Amazon every time, and then now you have the freedom to sell that inventory on other platforms, or, you know, sell it to someone else if the product doesn't work out and liquidate it or something like that, then you automatically set up to do seller fulfilled, merchant fulfilled, right? It's just a lot of boxes that ticks off.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I used to have my own brand, it was actually cheaper, a lot cheaper. Like the storage fees were way cheaper at my third party warehouse in Los Angeles. And I think they were charging like, I don't know, $8 or $9 a pallet or something like that per month. And they don't charge long-term storage fees. We're able to negotiate really good pick and pack rates. So if you do your homework, it can really work out. And so we had a handful of clients that didn't even have a warehouse. So we actually called a dozen warehouses around the country, because half of them were closing down during the coronavirus as well. They weren't set up for it. So we vetted warehouses for our clients, and I think we were able to narrow it down to like our top two or three warehouses that they've been deemed, what's the phrase that they're saying? They've been deemed necessary businesses, because it's a warehouse that happens to store like medical equipment, like masks or sanitizers. And so the government has deemed them, you know, a mandatory, you know, they must stay open business operation. And so anyway, if anyone needs those warehouses, I could provide that list of the two or three warehouses. And the last we checked last week, they still had space, you know, for capacity. They had like, you know, over a dozen warehouses in around the country. So we could provide that if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. And for the people who are listening right now and are going to like pause and like put their car on the side of the road and stuff like that, where can they find that? Is there a link?
Yeah, it's up there right now. It's at turnkeyproductmanagement.com/resource. So it's one of the top free resources listed there.
Perfect. I'm sure people are going to be asking me about that. So I'll put that in the show notes there. And then when it comes to coronavirus, what other things are you seeing that are challenges that people need to overcome right now?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to add that, like, what we're seeing is, yes, it's a really scary time right now, and there's, yes, a lot of uncertainty. Things are changing super fast. So, but at the end of the day, right now, more people than ever before in human history are now shopping online, and especially shopping on Amazon. And yes, you may not be able to ship in as much inventory as you'd like right now, but you know, in a month or two or three, like, this will pass. But like, Amazon has now signed up so many new Amazon Prime members for people that like were resistant to it before, but now they're on that, you know, 1 year, $99 or whatever the cost is fee to be a Prime member. Like, those people are going to be probably a 90% stick rate, you know, like, they're like, well, I'm not going to the store ever again. You know, like I think this will change human behavior and shopping in general, you know, for the future, for years to come, and maybe longer than that. And so right now it feels scary, but it's actually going to probably be the best opportunity of our lifetime. And so for those of you that are already selling on Amazon, then that's amazing. I mean, you were just talking to me, Danny, that some of your clients were, you know, that you're talking to right now are not on Amazon, and they're scrambling to get on Amazon because they were doing the old fashioned retail and stuff like that. Right. So if you're already on Amazon, like, you have a leg up, and if you can make it through these next few months or however long this lasts, like, you will be in a position of strength when a lot of your competitors will, you know, probably, you know, give up at some point in the process.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. There is like a massive, massive amount of brand new e-commerce customers that are just entering the market right now. And like you said, I think the stick rate is going to be super, super high. It's just Amazon especially has just figured out the formula for growing into a massive company. Before, people were really scared of online transactions. They didn't trust websites with their credit card because they were going to get scammed. And it's just like the shipping was unreliable. But Amazon solved both of those, the two most major barriers to people buying online. There's no reason why those customers are going to go anywhere. It's way better than going to the store, and the prices are usually better as well. So that for sure, the e-commerce market in general is going to grow from that.
Yeah. So we just need to stick through this together, do what we can to scrape and adjust and adapt and, you know, take it day by day, but have a long-term view of like, I just need to get through this, and this will be, you know, make me stronger in the long run.
Yeah. And so, Jeff, I'm really curious to hear, what do you think is working on Amazon right now to help companies grow? And maybe that's still coming back to the fundamentals, like coronavirus came along and the business model for the most part is still the same, right? A few things have changed, but what do you think right now is what brands should be focusing on to grow on Amazon?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now, I think it will weed out a lot of the people that didn't have those basics, fundamentals, those pillars of a sound business in place. So having multiple ways to ship inventory, right? So like, there's some of those technical things, but at a high level, I would say there's a handful. So like, number one is, now more than ever, I think people realize, okay, I have to commit to Amazon and realize how important it is. Maybe you've neglected it. You were focused on retail or Shopify or whatever, or you just weren't giving Amazon its due focus. So number one is like, you got to realize this is only going to get bigger and you want to ride the wave of Amazon. So commit to Amazon being one of your most optimized sales channels. Number two is to make sure that your pages are super high converting, more than your competitors. And so, you know, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast, if they follow you, like, then, you know, follow what Danny preaches and teaches and does for his clients, right? To have well-optimized listings. So I don't even need to cover that. But once you have those pieces in place, then it's all about, number three is like, adapting to these fast changes. So coronavirus is a big change, right? When Amazon drops hammers like changing their review policy, those are big changes. So you need to stay up to date on what's happening and adapt very quickly. And the benefit of if you're a small company is you can do that a lot faster typically than, you know, these billion-dollar companies. So we actually have an advantage there. What else? Another one that comes to mind is once you've got those pieces in place, finding ways to bring targeted, profitable traffic to your Amazon store and your Amazon pages, that's always going to do well. So things like Amazon PPC doesn't get much more targeted than that. People are searching for a keyword phrase. They're searching for whatever, a yoga mat. And if you have a yoga mat, then it makes sense. You're going to have a good chance of closing that sale if you can put an ad in front of them. But even outside of that, there's additional ways to get traffic. As we all know, you can use your own audience if you've got your own assets, like your email list or social media. But if you don't have a big list, then you could tap into other people's audiences, other people's lists, right? Some people might call them influencers. You can call them whatever you want, but just making relationships and offering value to their audience or to their people or giving them free product. So tapping into those resources can be a way to get Amazon traffic and sales. So those are some of the things I think will kind of always work no matter what the environment is.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear if you have done a whole lot with influencers when it comes to Amazon products, because I recently just watched a presentation from one of my mentors, George Bryant, on he grew some companies to really, really large levels with influencers to the point where he made the main influencers with those companies into millionaires just through their own affiliate commissions with their products, driving ads to their social media accounts, and then actually using their social media accounts to drive ads back to his products and things like that. I'm curious if you have any strategies that you've really identified that have worked with Amazon when it comes to influencers.
Yeah, George is a wizard. I know him. He spoke at one of the events I was at, so I remember him very well. I wouldn't say I'm as expert as him as far as the influencer topic, but at the end of the day, like Ryan Moran once told me, like if you're reaching out to an influencer or someone that you think, you know, you're hoping for a positive response, you're like, I don't know if they'd even care or respond. He said, go for the easiest yes possible. So don't go for the big giant ask and send a 7-paragraph email or DM, you know, in your first message and say, hey, I want to do this partnership and I want to send you product. I want you to do 5 posts a week and I'll pay you 25 a post plus commission. Like, people are just going to absolutely delete that, right? But if you actually build a relationship with them, and yes, it's not that sexy because it's going to take more time, but just simply start by following them and actually getting to know them and, you know, sending them a message, a genuine message that's thanking them for what they do. If you're inspired by them, if they're a fitness influencer and you have fitness products, right? Messaging them and following them genuinely and just being like, you're one of my favorite people to follow. I love the workouts that you post, and just starting a conversation there. You're not asking for anything. They'll probably respond, and that can spur a conversation. And then from there, I mean, most people will typically accept free products, you know, if you offer it, but especially if you've built those deposits first, right, with them, and then say, hey, you know, I actually have a physical products resistance armband that we just launched, like, I'd love your feedback on it. Not even asking them to post it, right? And then sending it to them. And they'll be like, sure. And you send them a nice, you know, beautiful, gift basket of your products and a thank you card, you know, like being a human and really connecting with them, treating them like people. And that can lead to a real relationship starting where what you're saying is you might really, you know, become business partners with them or, you know, getting access to their ad account and working together on deeper levels. But it starts with a much smaller step, and usually it's not all on day one, you know?
Yeah. And I won't dive too much more into it, but I think it's really important to have some structure there. Instead of just reaching out to a bunch of influencers and trying to get them to, you know, like make a post about your stuff, just having the structure of like, okay, influencers between this range and this range, we probably want to give them one free product a month or something like that. And like this range, maybe there's more expectations and maybe they can start to get paid affiliate commissions. And then maybe the next year we're actually going to be, you know, partnering them more and more. And just having that structure, because it's such an unstructured thing. It's literally just like sending direct messages to a bunch of people and trying to work out some sort of agreement. There's no like right way to do influencer marketing, right? So that's where I think a lot of people get hung up, is having just no structure around it. But something that does have more structure is Amazon PPC. And I know that you have some good insights into some of the newer strategies that people are taking advantage of, such as video ads and the retargeting. And I know for a fact that a lot of people are not even taking advantage of these at all, because I've gone into a lot of accounts and seen that they have access to these, but have not created a single campaign for either of them. So tell us more about what you're seeing with video ads and retargeting ads on Amazon.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. A lot of people are not aware of it. They're not utilizing it. They're just doing the basic old keyword ads only. But yeah, Amazon has opened up the doors for a lot of sellers. They started in beta, so you might see it in your account already. But yeah, basically you can now retarget customers that visited your Amazon product page and didn't buy. So if your conversion rate's 10% on your product page, that means if you had 1,000 people visit in a month, that means you had 900 people not purchase, which is normal, right? It normally takes multiple touch points in this day and age to close a sale. And now you have the ability to put an ad and follow them around, you know, over the coming weeks and bring them back to your product page. So that's a super targeted ad. And yeah, with our clients, we are seeing incredible ACoS percentages that are very, very low, like much lower than you know, just the normal cold traffic ads. So yeah, so that's one of them. And then there's also video ads as well. And it doesn't need to be anything crazy. You don't need to run a Super Bowl commercial or anything like that. But just creating a simple, you know, 5 to 30 second video, you can even just do like a slideshow of photos. That's even working for some of our clients that didn't have great video assets. We just help them compile a slideshow with text overlay. And yeah, those videos, because like people just are not using that. So there's not a lot of competition. So the prices and the cost per clicks and, you know, the ROIs on them are just doing super well right now, because it's really jumping out at people, because Amazon's just now really getting into video. And so, you know, a lot of customers are responding to that. And as you know, on Amazon, every time that Amazon comes out with a new opportunity, you know, those first movers, the brands that are able to jump on it and be the first ones in there, whether it was lightning deals back in the day or, you know, the profitable giveaway strategy, like anyone who jumps on the bandwagon right away, they get to ride that way for as long as it lasts. Maybe it lasts 3 months, maybe it's a year or longer, but, you know, get in there quickly, because eventually, as we know, people are going to, you know, competition will come flooding in, and the prices and cost per clicks will go up and all that. So right now is sort of the golden age, I would say, of the retargeting and video ads. So if you have it in your Amazon PPC account, start using that, or whoever you're using for PPC management, make sure that they're taking advantage of that. And if you don't have access to it, you may just, you know, not have been invited to that program quite yet. So I don't know when it will get rolled out, but you can also do it through what's called Amazon DSP, which is a different Amazon advertising platform. And we're able to help get our clients it on that platform as well. So there's a couple different ways to get it.
Yeah. And also I've heard some people having on and off success, just simply creating a support ticket and reaching out and asking for them to have access to the video beta, you know, not a bulletproof way to do that, but it can't hurt to just ask to get added. Right now the support is probably super overloaded, so yeah, probably not going to work, but if it's even a small chance that one little change to your account could bring back hundreds or thousands of dollars back into your account with just sending a simple support ticket, then I'm going to open that support ticket every single time. Retargeting ads is a really interesting one, because it's super simplistic in the way it's set up right now in Seller Central. Is it really just that simple as it seems, or are there some nuances that you think are important when setting up your retargeting?
Yeah, so it is fairly rudimentary on the Seller Central ad side. On the DSP side, on that platform, there's a lot more versatility and complexity and options to it. So you can set like time frames, like I want to target people in the 7-day period after they visited my listing. And you can have a lot more control over the ads you're showing and how you're reaching them. But at the end of the day, if you're able to get access on your Seller Central ads, it's just worth a shot. It's not that crazy hard to set up. So, you know, set that stuff up. But if you aren't able to get access to that, then you might want to look at Amazon DSP, because that is, you know, it's got more reach and immediate availability to get access to those ads.
Yeah. And also, I love what you said about video ads, is that some of your clients, they don't have the video assets, and, you know, it's going to cost you $1,000, couple thousand dollars to create this professional video that is really great and everything. We do those for some of our clients at Kenji ROI, but a lot of brands, they don't have the budget for that. But it's really interesting now. It's never been easier to create a really professional looking video out of just your images and some text. For example, YouTube has a piece of software that's in beta right now called YouTube Video Studio or something like that. And literally you can just take a bunch of your images and text, and it'll turn it into a really professional looking video with all these different layouts and fancy graphic cuts and everything like that. But otherwise, like, it'd probably be like an $800 to $1,500 motion graphics video edit from some professional editor. But you can just make this in their tool with like no technical knowledge at all. And there's more and more tools coming to market that will just do that. As someone who has no video or technical experience can just take their existing text and images and create a professional looking video. Is that what you recommend for sellers who just don't have the budget for a professional video?
Yeah, I think that's a great tip, what you just said. I mean, you can do it in PowerPoint. You can do it in YouTube, I'm sure, has a video editor. There's online video editors. But what I've seen a lot of brands do is they get so worked up, like, I need to have a perfect video. And then guess what happens? They never get around to it. It's like, well, guess what? A crappy slideshow video that you think is crappy will still be a lot better than no video. So, and sometimes they'll actually outperform the really fancy, you know, videos. So you'd be surprised what can happen there. Oh, and I just want to add one more thing. So before, like, if anyone is looking into the Amazon DSP because they don't have access to those retargeting and video ads, if you go straight to Amazon, they typically will charge you like a I think it's a minimum $35,000 test ad budget. So I would not recommend doing that route. So I would recommend that you contact and find an agency that has the ability to, you know, because certain agencies have been able to get approved from Amazon DSP to offer much lower budgets, like as little as $2,000. And so make sure you reach out to an agency that has that, because they can do it for you. And you can test out $2,000 to see if it works. And if it's working, great. If it's not working, then don't do that. So I don't know how many there are out there. We were able to somehow get access, but I'm sure there's other ones out there. So just make sure to do your due diligence. And I would not recommend $35,000 to Amazon DSP out the gate, because who knows what will happen there.
Yeah, well, if it's anything like the Amazon Vendor Central program, then your money is going to get flushed directly straight into the toilet. So always think about that. And Jeff, if there's any kind of final insights into what people should be looking out for the rest of 2020 or maybe into 2021, like, what kind of trends do you see that are emerging? Because, I mean, the world in e-commerce today looks much different than it did just a couple months ago. And everyone's projections that they're making at the start of the year probably have shifted at least somewhat. So what do you foresee coming for the rest of 2020 when it comes to Amazon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to keep going up and up. Like, we kind of already talked about the trends and our thoughts there. So, like, I would just kind of reiterate that, like, yes, it's a scary time right now, but it will get easier at some point. It will calm down at some point. And at the end of the tunnel, like, it's going to be even better than it ever was for those that make it through to the end and don't give up. And so just say we got to buckle up and ride it together, help each other, reach out to people, to friends, people, you know, that are doing the same stuff, and just, you know, let's all get through it together. And, you know, on the other side, we'll, you know, hopefully look back and be like, wow, that was a crazy time, but, you know, look at us now.
Yeah. And I'm sure anyone listening who's been selling on Amazon for more than like 5 days realizes how much volatility there is and like how many changes that are happening all the time. Right. So that is an important skill of selling on Amazon, is adapting to those changes, like identifying the changes and just staying on top of that. So the true Amazon sellers are the ones who are going to weather the storm and adapt and survive. So thank you so much for coming on, Jeff. This is a really valuable episode.
Thanks, Danny. Really, really appreciate it. And I love the content that you put out. And I hope that this helps some people. And yeah, we'll make sure to put that, give you the link for that that warehouse and some other free stuff there at the turnkeyproductmanagement.com/resource. So, because seriously, like, even if you're not, you know, even outside of the coronavirus, like, you should have third-party fulfillment set up for a number of reasons that we talked about. So, thank you for having me on, Danny. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And Jeff, is there a place that people, if they wanted to reach out to you personally, is there a best place for them to do that? Or would you still direct them to that resource that you just mentioned?
You can get a hold of me there. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I have a podcast as well called Playbook for Amazon Podcast. There's a lot of ways to get a hold of me on Facebook. I'm on there as well. So yeah, reach out to me. If anyone has any questions or anything at all, I'm pretty active on it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And we will put the links in the show notes at kengroi.com/blog, all of the links to those resources and anything that Jeff mentioned here. So thank you so much for coming on, guys. And if you haven't already, I would love if you left a review for the podcast. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/AF, standing for Actualize Freedom. And it just opens up whatever app is on your phone that you can leave a podcast review. So it makes it super simple. And I read every single one of those reviews. So thank you again, and continue to kick some ass, and we'll chat soon.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit kenjiroi.com.